Thank you, sir. All right, it's good to be down in this area. Of course, we've been to Torch, I guess they call it, or Little Hocking for many years. But good to be meet some new folks and be in here, this area with you. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 16. They said there's a new mirror. They're talking about on the news. There's this mirror that if you tell a lie in front of it, it'll kill you. And this lady got up in there combing her black hair and said, "You've got to be the most beautiful woman on earth." Zzz, it killed her. Redheaded lady who looked in there and said, "You've got to be the most intelligent person in the universe." Zzz, killed her. This blonde-haired lady looked in there and said, "I think." Zzz, it killed her. All right. That's my blonde joke for the month. John 14:16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. For your goodness, we pray you would strengthen us now as we try to preach. I pray we'd help us to step out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit do his work tonight. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. As Father, you bless each person. Illuminate my mind, loose my stammering tongue. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his leaving, and they're very sad, and he's trying to tell them that He had been with them for those 3 years and could only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit, he was going to send the Comforter. And the word Comforter, we've heard this over and over, taught the Greek word is Parakletos, which means one called alongside of. And a friend of mine said he was out in his field working, and he hit his thumb with his hammer. And he told his wife, and she said, "You need to go to the doctor." And he said, "No, he's too proud to go to the doctor." He said, "One day, his thumb just fell limp and quit working. It just wouldn't work. It just fell limp. He couldn't move it." He went to the doctor and they said, "You cut your tendon." And so he said they took another tendon from another part of his body, a good long tendon, and they took those two broken tendons, pulled them back up together, and put the new tendon, the strong tendon, alongside of them. And now his thumb works again. He said, "I'm going to call that my Parakletos tendon." Amen. One called alongside of. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He comes alongside of us and he stands with us and he strengthens us and he does our work for us. Amen. He's the Parakletos, the Comforter, and he's preparing his disciples, tells them about the Comforter. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless," which comes from a word which means orphans. I will not leave you orphans or parentless. And then he talks about he will send the Comforter. Amen. He's going to send the Comforter who will abide with us forever. And he's the proxy. A proxy means one that stands in the place of another. He stands in the place of another. And Jesus was saying, "I'm sending the Comforter to stand in my place." In every place that Jesus stood for his disciples and with his disciples, the Holy Spirit will stand with us in his place. Amen. We'll look at some places where Jesus stood with his disciples. Jesus stood in the storm. In the storm. Amen. One day, Jesus was about to do a great work, and he told his disciples to go across the sea and go into the country of the Gadarenes, and they were going across, and there arose a huge, great, vehement, violent storm of defiance. Amen. And the disciples woke Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And Jesus stood between them and the storm and rebuked the storm. We know it was not a storm sent by God because God does not rebuke Himself. Amen? He does not rebuke Himself, so we know who this storm of defiance was. It was from Satan trying to stop him from going over to cast those demons out of the man of the maniac of Gadara. And so Jesus stood between His disciples and the storm. We've got a friend of ours over in Phoenix that he started a church 17 years ago in a storefront. And when they went to build their first building, a violent split, a storm came and the church split in half. And anytime you go forward, you're going to notice there's a big, there's a violent storm that's going to come of opposition. And the second time they started, God stood between them and the storm. They recovered. They started supporting missions and grew to $130,000 a year they supported missions. And then they started work on their second building. They grew again, started work on their second building. I was there a couple of years ago, and I didn't know it. They didn't tell me. But they had just went through another violent storm and another violent split. The church split in half again, but their missions giving continued and even raised it up to $140,000 at their missions conference. And why? God will stand between you and the storm. When God's about to do a great work with you, sometimes you'll see a violent storm. Amen? A friend of mine studied storms in the old sailing vessels. He said a man gave him his library, and there was these books about the sailors and the ships of old and back in the 1600s. And he said he read those books, and he said when there arose a storm, if that captain did not point the ship in the direction that the wind was blowing, he said it would absolutely begin to rip the sails and rip the wood beams off of the ship, and sometimes it would even go down if they did not allow it to go in the direction. Sometimes that storm is pushing us on to our destiny. Amen. It pushes us on to our destiny. Sometimes we need to make sure we're just pointing our ship in the direction that the Holy Spirit is trying to push us. Amen. He's trying to push us on. Then He'll stand between you and the battle. In Numbers, that famous story of the 12 spies going in to spy out the land, and 10 saw giants and grasshoppers, and 2 saw God. Amen. And only 2 men out of an entire generation, an entire nation of millions of people, 2 men out of that generation, only 2 men did the will of God. Only 2 men followed God with their whole hearts. The rest of the nation turned back, and they saw giants, and they saw fenced cities and walls, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. But 2 men said, hey, we're serving the God that split the Red Sea. Amen? And the same God that did that miracle can do another miracle and take down the giants. Amen? 2 men went in, and you find Caleb had a lot of patience. He waited. Joshua and Caleb waited 40 years to go into the promised land. And in Joshua 5:13, you find Joshua, the story of him. And it came to pass, I'll read the verse, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. Notice a man standing with his sword drawn, amen, in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And it was the Lord Jesus, because He told him to take off his shoes. He was on holy ground. And Joshua bowed and worshipped Him. Amen. We know it was the Lord Jesus standing between him and the battle. The reason the walls of Jericho fell down, you hear these documentaries on how they figure out scientifically how those walls fell. No, they didn't fall scientifically. They fell by faith. They fell when there was a man that believed. And they fell because there was a man standing between them and the battle that knocked those walls down. It wasn't Joshua. It was just simply Joshua did. He did what he was supposed to do, and God did the rest. Amen? God did the rest. God will stand between us and the battle. When Gideon was standing with his 300-man army against 125,000 Midianites. 300 men against 125,000. I don't think that quite matches up. But he said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. He knew who was fighting his battle. Amen? He knew who was fighting his battle. The sword of the Lord. Don't throw down your sword for a butter knife. Amen. Don't throw your KJV down for a ESV. You're trading out for a butter knife. He'll stand between you and weariness. I'm reading a lot of scripture because that's where the power is in the word. Amen. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus will stand between you and the load and the weariness of the ministry and the weariness of the work. Amen. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the devil is in the business of wearing out the saints. And what wears us out is when we don't have what wears out an engine is when it doesn't have the oil. Amen. It's not when we don't spend that time soaking up that oil. Amen. Somebody was talking about the wick of a lamp, the old oil lamps. Once that wick had soaked up the oil, it could burn and burn and never burn out. As long as it soaked up the oil was what was burning and not the wick. And we need that. We've got to have that in the work of the Lord or we'll wear out. We'll wear out. They said when that ox leaned into the yoke, that there was an oil that came out between the yoke and the skin of that oxen. There was an oil standing between the yoke and the oxen. Amen. And that would cause that instead of chafing, it would cause it to actually sort of be massaged. Amen. And when we lean into the yoke, the oil of the Holy Spirit will stand between us and the yoke and the work. And that we're talking about in the Old Testament, how Jesus said in the book of Psalms, "Thou anointest my head." David wrote, "Thou anointest my head with oil." The shepherds would anoint the sheep with oil. They would anoint their heads because they butted heads so much. Amen? And that would stop the friction. That would stop the friction. We were in Virginia, and this pastor had some sheep, and he said, "I want you to come out here and call my sheep." And I tried everything to call his sheep. They wouldn't even acknowledge my voice. But he said one word, and my wife said they all turned their heads and looked and ran toward him. They knew the shepherd's voice. But there was two little lambs right in front of us, and fast as lightning, these two little innocent lambs were laying there, and all of a sudden they jumped up and started butting heads. Lightning fast. He said, "Those are Baptists." Amen? And that anointing keeps us from being wore out from the friction. It causes us in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that ran down the beard of Aaron. Amen. That anointing oil keeps us in unity. It keeps us in unity. We've got to spend that time. We've got to spend that time soaking up the oil. Spend that time with Him and get that oil in our lives. Amen. It'll keep us from being wore out. Wore out. Some of us are just plain wore out in the ministry. Then He'll stand between you and thirst. In John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Amen. This world can turn into a desert in just a heartbeat. The world is a desert. And the devil paints beautiful mirages and says, come out here, throw away your King James Bible and come on out here to the world and you'll find fulfillment. We were down in Brazil one day and a friend of mine was noticing on the streets several places they had these posters of Elvis and Marilyn Monroe, two different posters of them in their prime. And to the world, they had everything the world had to offer. They were the envy of the world. Amen. And one of the preachers said, "It's ironic that both of them died of an overdose on drugs." Why? Because there was no beauty in the world. There was nothing in this world to feed their soul. Elvis said one time, he has been quoted as saying, "What's it going to take to fulfill this emptiness in my heart? What's it going to take to fill this emptiness in my heart? The world could not fill the emptiness in their heart. But Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. If you're thirsty, come to the Lord Jesus. There was a man who talked about a well. When he was a little boy, he drank from a well at his home. And he said as he grew up and he left there, he went to war in a very dusty, dry place. And he dreamed at night of that well and wished that he could take that well with him. And then he said he went to China one time and there was disease. They wouldn't let him drink the water. And he was so thirsty, he said, I dreamed of that well at night and wished for a drink of it. Wish I could take that well with me. And he told the story of the well, how the man that first owned the farm and built the farm house and dug the well said the well was so strong and so powerful when they first dug it, it was flooding, coming out of the overflowing. And he feared that it would flood his yard and flood his house. So he asked the fire department to come out and stop it up. And they brought a rolled up piece of carpet, put it in the well spring, stopped it up, filled it up with rocks, and it lay dormant for years. And one day he said, it's a shame for this well to lay dormant. And so he asked the fire department to come out. They lowered a man in there, pulled the carpet out. It began to flow again. This time, he said, this time it was not as powerful. And he said it was the best water he ever tasted in the world. And he said he came back as an old man to that city, and somebody said, that is still the best water in this entire city. And you say, what's your application? The application is, we have a well. Sometimes it gets stopped up. And sometimes you lose your joy. And sometimes you just dry up in the Christian life. But that's when you have to ask the Master, unstop the well. Amen. And He can unstop that well, give you your joy back, give you that joy that you lost. Give it back to you. Amen. Are you thirsty? Jesus said, I'll stand between you and thirst. Hudson Taylor said one of his children died, and then several more children died. His wife died, and his only children that were left alive were in England because there was no homeschooling material in that day. He was left in China by himself. He was a missionary, and he said he got so thirsty with loneliness. He said, I thirsted so much with loneliness in my heart that I would cry, I thirst, and within seconds God would fulfill that loneliness. And he said, I cry 20 times a day sometimes, 20 times a day I thirst, and God would fulfill that loneliness. And he said, I became so at peace that I didn't know if my wife and children could be more at peace in heaven than I was, though they were in heaven and I on earth. God quenched his thirst of loneliness. Amen. That loneliness when you're left without a spouse and you're left without a loved one and you're all alone, and that emptiness in your heart, God can fulfill that thirst. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. He'll stand between you and thirst. He'll stand between you and temptation. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able. He suffered every temptation that you have ever suffered. Why? So that he could help you. And when you do fall, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Amen. There's not any of us that have not sinned. We are all sinful. And people used to say, well, there's a certain denomination that believes they do not sin. And they said to refute their doctrine, when they tell you they do not sin, kick them in the shin. Amen. And if they don't cuss you out, then maybe they do. Maybe their doctrine's right. Amen. But I'm just joking, of course. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a merciful God that'll forgive us. When He paid our sin debt in the past, it was for the past, the present, and the future. Paid in full is what He cried. Amen. Paid in full is what they would write on the prison cell when people owed debts they could not pay. A kinsman redeemer could come along, pay that debt, and they'd put at the bottom of that person's debts, they would put, I think it was called telestai. The Greek word telestai, paid in full. Paid in full. Amen. And Jesus cried, telestai, it is finished. On the cross, it is finished, which means paid in full. Not only your past, but your present sins are paid for. All you have to do is ask. Ask Him to forgive. Ask Him. I think it was Moody who talked about a judge that was lost, and his wife asked Moody to go and see him and witness to him, and he said, I can't. I'm an ignorant, unlearned, young Christian, and your husband is a book infidel. We would call him an educated fool today. But he called him a book infidel. And he said, I'm an uneducated young Christian. I cannot talk to your husband, but I'll go and see him. And finally she begged him to go, and he said, he told the judge, he said, I'm an uneducated young Christian. I can't talk to you, but if you ever get saved, please tell me. And so about a year later, he heard from the judge, and he said, how did you get saved? The judge got saved. He said, I was home one night. My wife went to a prayer meeting, and I was going to go to bed, and I got so miserable I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep all night long. I was under conviction. So he said, I told my wife I don't want anything to eat. I went to my office. I gave my staff the day off, and he said, I locked myself in my office, and he said, I prayed. Oh, God, forgive me of my sins. And he said, I prayed, and God wouldn't hear my prayer. I had no peace. I kept praying. He said he was a Unitarian. He didn't believe in the blood atonement. And he kept praying, God, forgive me. God wouldn't answer his prayer. He said, he kept praying, God, forgive me. And he said, finally, after 3 hours, I said, for Jesus' sake, forgive me. In other words, from Christ's account, forgive me. He said, when I said that, peace flooded my soul. He said, God doesn't forgive us for our sake. God forgives us for Jesus' sake. Amen. For the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. God will stand between you and temptation. He'll stand between you and temptation. And He'll stand between you and death. Psalm 23, verse 3, or verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou art with me. The valley of the shadow. The shadow of a serpent cannot bite you. The shadow of a bullet cannot kill you. The shadow of a knife cannot stab you. The shadow of a semi cannot harm you. And the shadow of death does not harm the Christian. Amen? The shadow of death cannot harm you. Stephen was accused, and he looked up and he said, behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He was standing between Stephen and death. He stood between Stephen and death, and that picture never, ever ended. It got brighter and brighter. That picture of heaven was open. It got brighter, and this world got dark. And the Bible says they stoned Stephen, and his body fell asleep. But before he ever fell asleep, he was already in the presence of the angels. His body was there, but he was already being ushered into the presence of God. Amen. And he was singing, I'll fly away, swing wide the gates. Well done, my child, welcome home. And they had a heavenly jubilee. Amen. He flew into the presence of God. We had a pastor that told this story the other day about a little girl he went to see in the hospital, and she was dying, 8 years old. And he went in. The family was exhausted. They'd been there for weeks, and they were out in the hall. And he walked in by himself and prayed with the little girl. When he lifted his head, there was two doctors in white coats. So he went out into the hall and said, I excused myself because there was two doctors in there. And they said, Pastor, there's nobody in there. We've been standing right here. Nobody went in there. So they opened the door. He looked back in, and there was nobody there. And the little girl had passed away. And he said, I realized that was not doctors. That was angels putting her into the chariot to take her home. And before her little body even grew cold, she was already in heaven. Amen. He'll stand between you and death. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him? He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior. It's not His will that any should perish and go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to know Him today. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness, Your love, Your mercy. Pray You'd bless tonight. And Lord, comfort us, strengthen us,